What does the appropriation President Trump did sign last night say about paying the rent? I'm David Brancaccio. What the president has now signed into law keeps the federal government funded for another 9 months through September. No shutdown. Among the elements in the pandemic relief section is the country's first ever rental subsidy program funded by the federal government, $25 billion worth. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more on that.
And that money will be distributed for states to administer. Congress directed that the program get going in 30 days or less after the bill is signed into law. That will be just when the brief extension of the CDC's eviction moratorium runs out, David. And that's at the end of January. And once the program gets going, it can run up to 15 months.
Will everyone who was able to use the ban on evictions be eligible for rental assistance then?
The criteria is similar, but there is an order of priority that states are supposed to implement, and that priority is supposed to go to households that meet at least one of two conditions, and those are at least one person in a household is unemployed for at least 90 days, or a household's total income does not exceed 50% of the area's median income.
All right, the typical income. Now, a lot of people owe rent. Does this help with back rent or for what you owe going forward?
So it's past due rent first. Once that's reduced, households can get up to 3 months for future rent. But David, the $25 billion set aside for all of this is likely not going to be enough. Estimates are that Americans will need somewhere between $70 to $100 billion in rental aid.
Nova, thank you. Legislation from last spring curbed COVID-related medical costs for many. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has an update on that.
COVID tests and vaccines are supposed to be free, says Karen Politz at the Kaiser Family Foundation.
But we really don't have legislation that shields people from the cost of COVID treatment.
Some patients just get better at home, but others require much more expensive care. And, says University of Minnesota epidemiologist Kumi Smith,
even among COVID patients who get hospitalized, the course of disease is wildly ranging.
A standard hospital stay will cost around $13,000, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. A severe case involving the ICU or a ventilator can cost upwards of $90,000. Politz says for people who have health insurance, most of that should be covered. But with deductibles,
even in an uncomplicated case, the average person might be facing, you know, $1,300 in out-of-pocket costs.
There is a government program to pay these bills for the uninsured, but only if medical providers opt in. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
At the dawn of the last few trading days of the year, the Dow future is up 0.6%. S&P and NASDAQ futures each up 0.7%. For the year, the S&P is up more than 14%, even with that COVID collapse in the spring. A lot of the strength has been pandemic low interest rates, making alternatives to stocks seem less attractive to investors. Now to visas for people who came to the U.S. to use their skills in, for instance, tech, science, and engineering. President-elect Joe Biden has pledged to clarify H-1B visa rules for many who've been left uncertain about when they might have to leave. Marketplace's Andy Euler has that.
It's a typical weekday evening for Monarch Suter. He lives in Savage, Minnesota, a suburb of the Twin Cities.
I was just about to make a dinner. My wife is on the way from work.
On the menu tonight, paneer tikka masala with garlic naan. Monarch and his wife Ankita are Indian citizens. He's an electrical engineer for a high-tech metal fabricator. He's been on an H-1B visa for 10 years, but says these last four have been particularly difficult. Every 3 years, he has to renew it. And the last time, the cost went up to $1,500.
Not only financial burden, but mental stress and emotion craziness.
The last time he saw his parents was in 2016. He doesn't go back because he's worried immigration officials just might not let him back into the U.S. Sandra Feist is a Suter's attorney. She says Trump's executive orders and policy changes deliberately made the process more difficult and discouraging for immigrants.
On the bureaucratic front, what they've done is just make the process much more cumbersome and unpredictable.
She says it's unrealistic to think that the Trump-era regulations and rules will be thrown out on the first day of the Biden administration, but she's hopeful the tone of the department will change. She says under Trump, the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, or USCIS,
changed its mission statement from a mission that was focused on providing service to customers, who are the immigrants, to a Department of Labor-esque mission that is about protecting American workers.
President-elect Biden has said he supports allowing more highly skilled workers into the country. But David Beer at the Cato Institute says because immigration policy is so politically divisive, he isn't confident the Biden administration will be able to follow through.
This is the one area of immigration policy where the Biden team has put out sort of a lukewarm statement about his views on work visas, particularly high skilled work visas.
Meanwhile, there's a deadline hanging over Monarch Suter and his wife. Her visa is dependent on his, and it expires on February 11th. They submitted the renewal back in September, but Monarch isn't confident it'll get renewed in time for her to avoid losing her job.
I mean, that's part of the reason why even we are still not able to plan for baby. And I mean, I'm 35, my wife is 32, and we are at a stage, clock is ticking, but it's a big step forward moving in our life.
He says like any other family trying to make ends meet in the U.S., they need two incomes if they want to be able to expand their family. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.